Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma, and with me this week I have the dynamic duo of the Kanji King Kirk.
Hello, konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. And the man with 1,000 Simpsons references, I have Trev. Welcome back, Trev.
I knew you'd say that. I don't have one this week.
No. I should have.
You've used all of them? Every single reference has been used.
Yeah. We don't recycle, obviously. So.
I have no fear. I've got references for years.
There you go. That'll do. That'll do. So thank you, listeners, for joining us. We did have a week off last week, so it's good to be back, and we have a lot to talk about this week with some interesting news about Zelda. We have a bit of a Mario Wonder update, as well as new tracks for Mario Kart to talk about and other games that we're playing. So let's get to it. But during the week, last week, there was what I thought was a pretty huge announcement from Nintendo themselves and Miyamoto that Nintendo is, in fact, making a live-action Zelda movie. So that's like, wow, okay. I think we all kind of hoped Zelda would be next off, like come off the rank after the Mario movie success. But what do you guys think? Live action, that's a surprise. I didn't think they'd go in that direction. What do you think, Trev? Did you have any kind of thoughts? I mean,
yeah, I agree. Well, I agree and disagree with you. I was kind of hoping for Pikmin myself.
Ooh, yeah.
Just based on the Pikmin shorts, but because those were so well done, but. Obviously, Zelda, I think, makes sense to follow Mario because that's a bigger franchise. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely, you know, live action is a surprise because, you know, Mario was animated and I just kind of assumed that they would, you know, follow it like a similar style. I mean, stylistically, they're different, but in terms of, you know, the animation or whatever you call it. So, yeah, it's... I was and am surprised.
Yeah, I was very surprised. I saw something online. I'm like, that's not real. And then I realized it was actually from Nintendo. I'm like, oh, that is real.
Yeah, it almost sounds like one of those like speculative articles. Like,
yeah.
If Zelda was a movie, this is what we'd want.
Mm-hmm. And is it kind of ironic that Sony Pictures is helping to produce it? Or like this whole Sony-Nintendo rivalry that we've had going in the 90s, like since the 90s. I thought that was funny. I guess
Sony view Nintendo as like friends now, or is that Xbox? I know one of them kind of was saying that.
Yeah, I did see something about Xbox. Microsoft saying something like, yeah, what was it? There was a quote. They see Nintendo users as quasi Microsoft users or something like that. It's like we're part of the family. I don't know. I can't remember what the quote was, but yeah.
Maybe Sony wants to get in on that. Like, hey, we do too.
Yeah. I mean, hey, that's kind of nice, I guess, if there's less competition. Well, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, Kirk?
I'm just really looking forward to seeing Chris Pratt as Link. I don't think I'm as surprised because the Mario movie made so much money that Nintendo almost immediately must have been like, okay, what's next?
Yeah.
So, but I also... I'm also not surprised it's a live action movie because it's going to be one of those live action movies that's what, 70% CGI, 80%? Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll have real actors standing in front of green screens and everything else is going to be fake. So,
true. Well, yeah, that will be a part of it for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, we'll see. It's going to be hard, right? I mean, it's going to be harder than Mario because, you know, there, all you really had to do was recreate the world and everybody was happy. Drop in some references, come up with a basic story and make it charming and funny. And that's not hard to do. It's going to be much harder, I think, to pull off a Zelda movie, which is going to require the full story and characterization and you know, the big push to the big climax. That's harder to do in that than it is in a Mario world where we're just kind of bouncing along to the end. So I'll be curious to see if they can pull it off. I hope they do. And I know I'll definitely see it.
Yeah, same for sure. I imagine it to be, I mean, this is obviously very early days, so we're just kind of speculating at this point, but I imagine it to be kind of a 2025 release at this point. Like if they haven't even started making it, you think it's going to take at least a year or maybe two.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm thinking it's like a Lord of the Rings situation where it's like a fantasy movie, you know, There's going to be giant monsters. I mean, speaking of CGI, one of the first things I thought of, and I said this to my kids, was, what do you think they'll do for Ganondorf? Like, he's going to be CGI, right?
Just, a cloud. Yeah. Like most of the comic book movies, right? They're cloud enemies. So be like Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting. And like Chris Pratt as Link, I mean, obviously that's a joke, but you straight away think, who's going to play Link? And do you think it'll be someone famous? Do you think it'll be someone new? I don't know.
For me, what I was wondering, because Link, traditionally in the games, he's either been a young kid, like preteen kid, or somebody who's like, you know, in his late teens, like 17 or something, maybe 18. Mm-hmm. So are they going to get a young actor and allow him to kind of grow into the role? Or are they going to do like an old man Link? Like, is it going to be a totally original story? Is it going to be pulling things?
What do you mean by old man first? Like a 70-year-old?
Well,
Clint Eastwood is going to be playing.
Hey, isn't that the thing? Maybe who is it? Liam Neeson? He does all those old man action roles.
Yeah. Just give him some long hair and pointy ears. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Perfectly.
And then he can graduate to Impa, and then they'll do a young Link for the next one.
Well, that'll be the romance. He's so old that the romance will be with Impa, and Zelda is just kind of be on her own.
Yeah. Well, then they probably do need a love triangle to make it somewhat interesting, right?
I feel like I'm going to be like comic book guys, like alternate ending. Zelda is Link's daughter.
Yeah. Oh gosh, that's good.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they're not too far along in development to consider all of these wonderful ideas we just came up with.
Yeah, exactly. But Trev raised a good point, a good question. What would it be, a new story, or would it be based on an existing game? I don't know. I thought it would be a new story off the top of my head. Like, that's what I originally just thought, but they've got so much to draw from. It could be based on, you know, something. Twilight Princess would be a bit interesting, wouldn't it? Why don't I go straight?
There's another thing too. Is it going to be like, because Zelda's never gone beyond teen, and most of the games have been like, you know, E10 whatever. So kids to adult back in the day. What are they? I would imagine maybe they're going for that PG-13, kind of that sweet spot between. Obviously, it can't be R. You alienate far too many. Mm-hmm. But if it's PG,
the Lord of the Rings movies, what were they rated? Because I do think it's going to end up having that kind of feel.
Mm. Yeah, I think they were PG-13. Okay. They had to have been. That's like the box office gold rating is pretty much PG-13. So
yeah,
I'd be shocked if it wasn't.
Yeah, Nintendo's family friendly. They want to get the families along. It'll have dark elements, obviously. There's bad magic and whatever else happening in the world, in Zelda's world, but you know, they've got to make it interesting as well.
Yeah. And they'll have to make this the secondary characters much more important in order to give us a full cast, as opposed to just popping up here and there.
Yeah, exactly.
I think the main question we haven't even addressed is, Link gonna talk, or is he gonna be silent?
I know. How are they going to do that? That's the thing. Whoever plays him, the voice is going to be, I mean, and we had this issue with Mario, with Chris Pratt, but, and Mario has a voice. Link doesn't. So that's going to be, there's going to be high expectations.
Yeah.
Ganon's castle, here we come.
I'm just looking forward to seeing where he gets his first bottle of milk in the movie.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll be cooking. You can relate to that, Trev. You can do some cooking.
Are they going to pixelate the dubious food?
Yeah.
Keep it PG-13. We can't show it.
Oh, there's a lot to look forward to. I can't wait to hear more. But it's obviously a long way off. And the director's name is Wes Ball, who I hadn't heard of, but apparently he's done the Maze Runner movies and a few others. So I'm not sure where he's come from, like how he's fallen into this project, but that's exciting for him. Have you seen the Maze Runner movies, either of you? I think I saw the first one.
No.
Are they like Hunger Game types, or?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I might have seen like clips, but I didn't never sit down and watch it from beginning to end.
Yeah, they're like those young adult kind of dystopian future things that became so popular for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a series of books, just like The Hunger Games. So The Hunger Games was adapted from a book series, did well. What else can we adapt? Let's take,
Maybe that gives you an inclination of how they're doing Zelda for like young adults, you know, but still a movie like Mario, you know, it's a kid movie that adults can enjoy. Maybe Zelda will be a young adult movie that, you know, grownups enjoy.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
I see he does have, he's got Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes coming out in 2024. So that will probably be, hopefully be a bit more indicative of what we get out of The Legend of Zelda, because I certainly don't want it to be a dystopian teen romance like the main genre movies.
We don't need that.
There's Excuse me, princess.
Yeah, so that would be interesting. So yes, we'll monitor that as we hear more. But I thought we'd open with that because it's pretty big news and pretty exciting news, I think, for fans.
It is.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot to look forward to. So yeah, we'll keep that one on the radar. But speaking of, because we kind of touched on Mario as well, but let's move on to Mario because Mario Wonder is still relatively recent. It's been out a few weeks now. Trev hasn't had a chance to talk about it with us because we were away last week and you went on the week before, but Kirk and I have been talking about it a lot and playing it a lot, and we'd love to know what your impressions are and where you're up to and what do you think?
Yeah. Well, long story short, I know you guys know this, but for my listeners, I've got a thumb injury, which as a gamer is not ideal.
Definitely not.
I've been having to pluck it out. In little increments. I've been playing with Jen co-op, which is a lot of fun. I am enjoying myself. True to what I suspected, I am missing the ability to jump off each other. Like even Jen, she's like, wait, she's like, I want to reach that, jump off me. I'm like, I can't do it. She's like, what? But we're getting used to it. And based on like the design of the levels and the badges, I don't know if they'd be able to like update it in such a way where they could do that, but definitely liking that it feels new, because as much as I enjoyed the new series, you know, they did kind of blur together. And yeah, there's a lot of fun surprises. Obviously the Wonder Seeds are, you know, everything I could have imagined and more. And I like the new enemies, and it's shaping up. I would imagine when we do our Game of the Year podcast, it's going to be up there. So, yeah. And I'm only a few worlds in. I'm impressed.
Sounds positive. Yeah. No, I haven't quite finished it yet. I've been taking my time a little bit. I'm up to world 6. And we're probably at least halfway through World 6, maybe even more. But we're just going back and getting as many badges as we can. And we could do this after we complete the game, of course. But, yeah, we've just been sort of exploring and checking every nook and cranny. And
I was wondering that because, like, my wife was like, when she sees, like, we only got, like, one seed in a level, she's like, you want to replay it? And I'm like, I'm like, no, let's just go and then we'll come back and replay it. But it's hard to, you know, it's like, oh, because it's fresh in your mind. And you're like, I bet you it was this spot here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it is different. Like you said, it's very new. And that's a good thing, I think, for the series. I think it needed some freshness. And it's 92 on Metacritic. So it's very positive, received very positively. Did you have any updates from your end, Kirk, that you wanted to share?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm certainly not up to level 6, but my wife and I are playing it together. We're now into world 3, and it's with every now and again, you just hit something that catches you so completely by surprise, and it like completely changes the way you play the game for just a little bit. Those like bonus levels and such that you're finding. And I like that because all of them are like fun for the duration where you have to play them. And then I think, man, if this was the whole game, it would drive me insane. So I like that they took these things that would otherwise be a hard no for me and just thrown them at me in these like 30-second, 1-minute snippets that are a blast, you know, if you're doing them at that time. And then it's back to the norm as you as you progress. So I love the way they continue to break things up like that. We have hit a couple levels where the difficulty really spiked on us. I should say on me again, you know, Tyranny's better at this than I am, but she's patient. So we get through it. And, but yeah, aside from that, we're having a great time playing it and really should get into it more than we have been. It's just kind of like been, okay, we got a couple hours here on a Saturday afternoon. Let's tear through it. And then we do.
Cool. Have you guys reached the desert level? Is that World 3? Because you can kind of take it in any order you like. So,
yeah, it's another thing that surprised me. I'm sorry, Kirk, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I don't know if that's the desert world. It's like the shiny, you're doing a bunch of trials or something to get through it, working your way up to the top of something. It doesn't feel like a desert
level. No, that's more like the waterfall kind of world. There's this level, I didn't know if you were referring to it, Kirk, but there's a level that I don't know if, I think you'll enjoy in the desert world. And it's one of those kind of side questy type of things. And it's a rhythm-based level. So I'm guessing if you haven't done that, I thought you were referring to it maybe that level when you're saying you like it when it changes things up, but you wouldn't want to play a whole game like that. But I'll be very interested to know when you get to this level what you think, because it's, I know you like your rhythm games, and this is, you have to jump on the beat, basically. It's very different from Mario, and it's very cool. Well,
I am certainly looking forward to that now.
Oh, wait. Are you talking about that one, Gemma, where like it's the platforms that disappear? And then you fall.
No, actually, this is a hidden level, I think. It's not even there by default, but it's in the desert world. Just walk around the desert open world kind of area and look for something. I think it's called the Ninja Party or something like that.
Okay.
It's like you know, those little ninja guys, those little stars, the black stars, and they jump and you have to jump with them as you go through the level. And it's like there's a party happening in the background. It's really fun. It's very different. It takes a bit of getting used to, because you know, normally you run and jump whenever you want, but yeah, it's really cool. And those are the little moments, like you were saying, both of you, that break it up and make like those wonder seeds that just give you completely random changes to the level, and you just never know what to expect. And some of them are just, they make you laugh and they make you go, oh my gosh, what? It's just, I do enjoy it. I really do. I think it's very fun and different. Yeah.
Yeah, that platform level you're referring to, Trevor, is the one I was referring to when I talked about the difficulty spikes.
Yes.
Yeah, it's hard. So weird, too, because, like, we fell, and I'm like, what, the flag's right there? I'm like, that's weird. And then, like, oops, I knocked my mic here. There's, like, a question mark, and, like, the characters are kind of looking around, and it's like, did we beat it? It's like, nope.
Yeah. There's a couple like that. Yeah, there's a couple of fake endings, which is kind of fun and different. So, yeah. They've really changed up. They've done really well. It'll be interesting to see how it stands up, I guess, over time, you know, because for me, I can go back and play New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe over and over again. I don't know why.
And you have. I've seen your playtime.
Yes, exactly. This one, I don't know how much replayability there is to it. I have, because I've been playing with my kids and we're up to World 6, and I haven't wanted to continue without them. So I've started my own, I've started again by myself to kind of, I don't know. I wanted to try it. I wanted to sort of do it my own way as well. So yeah. So far I'm replaying it and it's fine. I don't think there's quite as many hidden passages and secrets as I'm used to, but there is a lot. It's just, it's a different feel in terms of that. I don't know. Does that make sense? Yeah.
I guess. I did want to say, and this surprised me a bit because, you know, the elephant was the hyped new power, and, you know, it's fun. And we kind of, when we did our preview podcast, I think we kind of said that the bubble power up maybe seemed the least exciting, just because it seemed a little familiar. But I kind of really like that. Like, I feel like it slows the game down a bit, so maybe that's not good. But, like, I like just firing them off, and I'm like, oh, let me get that enemy. And you get, like, one coin, which is nothing. I mean, you get far more with the elephant. But I end up liking it more in practice than I did maybe in the unveiling. So,
totally. Yeah, I fully agree with that. I think I might have said that to Kirk a few weeks ago. Yeah, the bubble power. We all in my family, the kids and I, we all like it now. And yeah, I was not impressed in the trailer. I'm like, bubble power. It doesn't look that great. It is really fun. It's really good. And it's really useful. It's kind of like, you know, those levels where you have to rush through and there's like three or four rooms of enemies to clear before you get to the end. Have you been through some of those? There's a few of those and they ramp up a bit as well. I think they increase the number of rooms and you have to get through in a certain time to get the purple coins. Anyway, you know how at the start you get to choose your weapons. We all go, because there's three of us playing, we get one of each. We have, I think Harrison likes to be the elephant. I'm usually the fire power and then Hayden is the bubble. And we get spares of each so that if we lose one, we can, you know, get a backup. Yeah. Especially when you're running through it for the first time, you don't know which enemies to expect. You don't really know which power will be the best one. So, but it's interesting. None of us generally choose the drill power. So yeah, there you go. Bubble for the win.
See, I haven't even gotten to the drill yet because I'm only in a, what's the third world? I think it's water. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's the fungi mines, I think, is like world five, maybe. Six is like a lava-based world, as usual, the final world. What's the other one? There's the, oh, there's desert, the water. Yeah. And you can kind of, like you said, we can kind of take it at any, once you get through a certain part, you can choose to go down any path.
I did forget to mention, but I liked how that the levels have, you know, stars kind of indicating the challenge.
Yeah.
Especially with my thumb being sore. It's like, oh, this is a 3-star, 4-star. Okay, let's do this one. It's only one.
Yeah. And we are on the quest to get all the badges. We still haven't got them all. There must be some really, I did say, I feel like there's not as many secrets, but there are definitely heaps of collectibles and badges are just one of them. And trying to find them all, it seems to be not tricky exactly, but they're not all available easily. So it's kind of, it's going to be fun to track them all down and collect them all and see what's left because we've got probably got 3/4 of them now. So,
Oh, wow. Yeah. That level Kirk was talking about, I found the badge that gave you a little, extra blocks.
Oh, kinda yeah.
They didn't add a lot, but they made the platforms like one block longer, I think, on each end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's useful. Yeah.
It's like, wow, okay, there's a little bit more peace of mind here.
Yeah.
Still hard.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. No, there's some really good badges. I wasn't sure also about the badges. I thought that might be a bit, I don't know, like cheating or just a way of playing I wasn't used to with Mario. But for me, they do tend to enhance the gameplay more than they interfere with it. So, and you can choose one that's a bit less helpful, like, I don't know, collecting coins or the super mushroom at the start is a useful one, I suppose, if you're small. Things like that.
Although I feel like they do a pretty good job of having power-ups available when you need them.
They do. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we're still working on our review. Kirk and I are doing a co-review now, so we're going to publish that as soon as we can and get our thoughts out there. But let's move on to the big, I guess, or the final release for Mario Kart 8. So DLC, the batch 6 of the booster pack is now out, came out last week. And I mean, first of all, I guess I wanted to check with particularly Trev, I guess, because you're more of a Mario Kart fan. What do you think's next for Mario Kart? Because this has been 18 months or so of consistent releases and it's been, you know, amazing, I think. And I'm sure you agree, fresh content every few months. Seeing, you know, new and old tracks alike kind of shared with, you know, Switch players. And we've had we've played online together as well with the team and it's really fun. Well, I mean, we have obviously talked about Switch 2 coming. Do you think they're going to hold off for another Switch? What do you reckon?
It's hard to imagine where they go from here for me just because there's so much, and Mario Kart 8's old. I mean, it came out on the Wii U.
Yes.
What, almost a decade ago? I mean, that's crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But I just think back to a game like an early Mario Kart game, like Mario Kart 64, which had 16 tracks? Mm-hmm. And that seemed, you know, awesome. And now, what are we up to, you know, with this?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we got dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and. And there's still courses that they didn't get to. It's like, oh, where's the airship from DS or, you know, some more of the Super Nintendo ones, whatever the case may be. But I don't know where they go. I guess if I had to say, I'd be like, all right, let's just go full blown on Nintendo Kart. Because you already have tracks from Zelda, from Animal Crossing, from F-Zero. You got all these characters from other games. Just label it as Nintendo Kart. It really open the floodgates. You know, make some tracks from some of your lesser known games.
You know, that's interesting.
Bring back those courses that didn't get in this one and have a consistent, you know, art style. You know, because obviously the originals are HD and these newer ones are, I mean, they still look great, but, you know, people are nitpicky. They're like, oh, look at this tree. It doesn't look as crisp. It's like, but it's going to be for Switch too, I think, because Mario Kart is just, it's going to move consoles, move systems, move hybrids, whatever Switch 2 may be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the first console that didn't get its own Mario Kart, I guess, you know, usually new console equals new Mario Kart. But they did a good job, I think, by recycling this one and getting a lot more life out of it. And yeah, that's a really interesting idea. Nintendo Kart. Is that new for you? I've not heard of that before. Did you just come up with that, or have you been thinking about this for a while?
I think it crossed my mind in the past, maybe when they first did update and they had those F-Zero courses. But yeah, it's like, you know, why limit yourself now, especially since there's less, I mean, you know, there's plenty that's not Mario in this. And, you know, maybe then you can even incorporate, like, I don't know, work a deal with Rare, bring in Diddy Kong Racing, have like an open world, or have missions like they had in Mario Kart DS. You know, there's still a lot of potential. As packed as this entry is, you know, there's still a lot they could, you know, they could do.
Yeah, that's true. I'd forgotten about those missions. They were fun.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Food for thought. Maybe Nintendo will listen and put that on their ideas board, whatever they're doing next. Well, let's talk about the tracks in this wave. You've had a chance to play, Trev? I know you've got your...
I have. Not a lot, but a bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I've played them. I played them once at least, so...
Okay, cool. Yeah, me too. So I've been through them. What do you think? Which ones sort of stand out for you? Because you don't play Tour, so a lot of these will be new for you, right?
Yeah. I think I'm realizing in this wave, even though I've enjoyed the Tour tracks and a couple of them especially, but they do kind of, well, they're like the new Super Mario games. They kind of blur a little bit. Like I have a hard time specifically remembering, you know, if you were to be like, oh, which track is this versus that? I wouldn't necessarily know unless it's like landmarks. But
yeah,
I think they're good. I think for me, the standouts, I think the DK Mountain, I think there's some nostalgia there because I played a ton of the GameCube game back in the day. I like, you know, Daisy Circuit's kind of a more simple track, but I like that one. The Ice World on 3DS, I enjoyed that on 3DS. I like it here. I guess the one probably that stand out the most is Bowser's Castle, just because I feel like those SNES and to a lesser extent the Game Boy Advance tracks have been so reworked that they feel totally brand new to me. Like I played Bowser's Castle. It doesn't feel like the SNES game to me. It feels like its own thing. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, me too. I was really excited to see Bowser's Castle. I think I've mentioned this a few times during the last few waves. I'm like, where's Bowser's Castle? We need more Bowser's Castle. So I was really happy to see that included. And you're right, it does feel different. It doesn't feel like it in a good way. It's great. It looks brilliant. It plays really well. I don't know if you noticed when I was playing it, there was one part towards the end where you can jump and land on this very thin wall kind of thing. And so I don't know if you really call it a shortcut, but it's like a little alternate path, but it's very thin and you have to kind of stay on it. And then you can jump onto the next thin wall. If you miss that first jump, you can't get back up there. But it was really cool. I did that on my second lap when I played it through the first time. Like, oh, cool, I could do this. And then the third lap, I didn't make it. So,
risk reward.
Yeah, that's okay. Mm-hmm. I think I see what you're saying about the Tour tracks, the sort of real life ones. But I actually disagree in this batch because Rome really stands out to me. I love the Rome track. You're in the Colosseum and there's fountains. It's just for this one doesn't feel like the other one. Well, it does, but maybe it's because I've been to Rome. Maybe some of the other ones I don't know as well. Like I definitely see your point because some of the other ones do blur together because I'm not familiar with those cities, right? Like even LA kind of stands out a little bit, but I don't really know LA. I don't really know Vancouver. But Rome I know because I've been there. I love the whole Colosseum aspect of it. I love that you're driving through and there's this big moon in the sky. It's like a big pizza pie, right? and even Madrid, Madrid probably would blur with for me because I'm not super familiar with that city. But the music in that one stood out to me because it's kind of like this Spanish vibe to it. And then there's a part where you're randomly on a soccer field with giant soccer balls and Goombas, you know, jumping around. So that part stands out. But the buildings, you know, the buildings and the streets kind of, unless you're familiar with the city, it does tend to be kind of one and the same. But yeah.
I think what, for me, with the tour tracks, because I think they all tend to, like the laps kind of, alternate, like you can't do the same. You know, the second lap's not the same as the first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, same with the third. And I don't know if that's what trips me up a little bit.
That's true. Yeah.
But you know, it's different. So I'm not knocking it. And like I said, there's been, you know, a couple that I quite enjoy it. I don't think there's any bad tracks in this wave, but yeah. I think they're all good. I mean, even Rainbow Road now. I don't know how many Rainbow Roads we have in Mario Kart 8, but Rainbow Road I think looks nice and is fun. And
it does. And the Wii tracks tend to look pretty similar, I think, to what we played on the Wii, right? They're not, I mean, they're probably a bit sharper and maybe more colorful or whatever. They probably enhanced it a little, tweaks here and there. But the Wii, that Rainbow Road one was very familiar to me in a nostalgic, fun way. You know, I remember playing that a lot because we played the Mario Kart Wii a lot. So,
well, not just you. I mean, prior to 8 Deluxe, that was the best selling Mario Kart game. So,
exactly. Yeah. Did you get to try any of the new characters?
I did. I first played as Diddy Kong.
Yeah.
And mainly because I'm like, oh, I had a fake memory. I thought Diddy Kong was already in the game. And then I guess he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I played as him and then I played as Pauline.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I haven't tried Funky or I forget the other.
Oh, Peachette. Like Peach. I think it's the fourth one.
Yeah.
Peachette, which I think is just Peach with a mushroom hat. I don't really know. I've never heard of Peachette before.
Yeah, that's, you know what? Now that you say that, I'm not sure I have either.
Yeah. She looked like Peach to me, just with a little mushroom hat like Toadette might wear. I don't know. I went straight to Diddy Kong as well. I prefer the smaller drivers. I'm usually like Baby Daisy or somebody like that. And yeah so Diddy Kong was good. I like the noise. I like his little cries that he makes when he's jumping.
I guess it depends on the game if I go smaller or big, but I feel like, I don't know, since I'm not the best Mario Kart 8 player, I feel like at least I have a little more control with the lighter guys.
Yeah, they do. They're better at turns. And I think I put this into my article that we've put in the magazine, actually, the Mario Kart tips, which the little guys are better at cornering. And so, you know, you kind of have to weigh up it. You know, the bigger players are better for speed long, you know, over straights, I suppose, right? So you kind of have to balance up whether you're certain tracks have lots of turns. I mean, Daisy Circuit is probably a good example. Like you said, it's a simple track, but it does have quite a few tight turns. So I feel like the little guys are better on that one.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyway, it's interesting. Any other thoughts on this particular batch of tracks that we wanted to highlight or mention? And Kirk, you haven't tried these, have you? You haven't had a chance?
No, sorry.
I just wanted to make sure you didn't feel left out of the conversation.
Well, I do, but it's my own fault.
I will say, because I think we mentioned all the tracks, but one, I will kind of amend my earlier comment, the Piranha Plant track didn't really feel like a tour track to me.
No.
And I was wondering if that was like a, like an update of an older track, like maybe not the same track, but like a remix or I don't actually know. Cause when I played it, it felt, parts of it felt familiar a little bit and then other parts less so. And
Yeah, that's so true. Some of it did feel familiar, seem familiar. I didn't recognize it. And I do play Mario Kart 2R, as you all know, but I didn't recognize that track. And I think on the game, like on the Switch, it doesn't, you know, it tells you where it's from. It tells you if it's from the Wii or from Tour, but that one doesn't have anything, right? So I think it's like, it is from Tour. Like it has, there is a Piranha Plant Cove track on Mario Kart Tour, but this is a remix. Like you said, it's like a taking bits and bobs of it and putting it together into a new version, I suppose. And maybe they thought overall it's a new track. I don't know.
Yeah. But that, yeah, I give it credit because that just not being like a real life city track, it felt unique to me, and I'd have to replay it, you know, a few times to really have an informed opinion on it. But I thought it was good, and whatever it is, you know, however they pieced it together, I think it, you know, they succeeded.
Yeah, interestingly, I noticed. Remember, in was it Wave 4 or 5, we had that new track, which was the bathroom track, Squeaky Clean Bathroom, whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is now in Tour. Like they actually brought it across the other way. So instead of
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I played that. A couple weeks ago because Mario Kart Tour refreshes its tracks every week. So there's heaps of tracks on there, old and new. But I did notice the Squeaky Clean Bathroom one recently. I was like, oh, cool. I know this one. And what they do on Mario Kart 2, which I love, and I would love them to do this on the Switch as well, or whatever the Switch 2. They remix them. So you use that word before, remix. And they're really cool. Like they'll make you go backwards through a race, but they'll put in all these extra jumps and like ramps and things. So you're not just on the road anymore. You're up in the sky. They change it up in really interesting ways with extra boosts and jumps and things. And it makes it really, really fun. They add things like I was saying to Kirk, I think recently they add like pumpkins for Halloween. So you got to hit the pumpkins. It keeps it feeling very fresh. So that's kind of a nice addition. So we'll see. I wonder if they'll kind of do something a bit more dynamic like that with whatever the next Mario Kart is, kind of new, tournaments or whatever you want to call it, something a bit more online. But then that might take away from Tour as well. So who knows, right? Who knows?
Yeah. I'll be honest. I'm surprised they're still sticking with Tour because I feel like a lot of their mobile efforts have kind of been more short-lived.
I know. I'd love to know how it's performing, like how many players they have, like how many people have downloaded it, how many people are checking in regularly. I'd love to know that. And it's free. It's completely free. You can pay to get more, but you can just download it for free. It's like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. No ads or anything. So I'd be really interested. Maybe I'll have a look and see. I don't know if they put that in their kind of fiscal reports or whatever, their financial deals that they do every quarter, but that would be interesting. And, you know, speaking of older Mario Karts, it was interesting that last week, I think it was Double Dash celebrated its 20th anniversary in Japan. And it's actually been 30 years, not to the day, this is kind of in January, I think, but 30 years ago this year, so 1993, excuse me, that Super Mario Kart was released in Europe and Australia. It was 92 in Japan and America. But for me, 93. So
that's a long time.
Yeah. So it just goes to show Mario Kart's been around a long time, still doing amazingly well. And like you said, what's next? Nintendo Kart? Who knows, right? So
you did remind me of something, Gemma. I think when Justin and I did yearly predictions, I might have thrown this in as a wild card.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know what? They've done so many tracks and characters on 8 Deluxe, you know, implement Double Dash mechanics where we can have two in a car.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if we're ever going to see that again, but I liked that a lot, and that added a lot more, I think, depth to the game than you might imagine at initial glance. So,
Yeah, that was a unique mechanic. I'm surprised it didn't come back in some form, but, yeah, I guess they try to add or change it. Like, you know, Mario Kart 8 brought in the anti-gravity, right? That's the first time that came in. And Mario Kart Wii brought in the jumps, I suppose, right?
The bikes,
yes. And then was it the 3DS had the underwater, I think, for the first time, maybe? So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, when they kind of did like the Sonic Racer with the different vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who did it first, Sonic or Mario? Do we know?
Oh, you know. I feel like it was fairly close.
Yeah.
That could be right. Oh, I shouldn't have brought it up. I don't know.
There can be some research homework for you. But anyway, let's move on.
And if you're watching, depending where you're watching or listening.
Let us know. We would love to know the answer to that question. Let's move on. Let's give Kirk some airtime here. Do you want to talk about some of the games you're playing, Kirk? It's not in the order I wrote it down, sorry. But I know Super Crazy Rhythm Castle is coming out very soon. In fact, it'll be out, I believe, the day that this podcast launches or the day after or something like that. The 14th.
It's Tuesday. Right? Is it Tuesday?
Yeah, okay. So the day after we'll publish this, which will be Monday. And you've had your hands on, you know, we've been talking about this for a little while because you had a hands on experience with it a few months ago and now it's coming out. How are we finding the full game?
Well, there are two immediate thoughts on it. First being that, I did have hands-on time with this at the Konami event in New York City in August, I believe that was. And love the game. It really stood out. It has an awful lot more to do in it other than just, you know, the typical rhythm gameplay. It's hard. It's so much harder than I remember it being. And I don't know if that's because I've just pushed further into it and the difficulty spiked up pretty quickly, or when we were at Konami, because of everything that was going on, you really couldn't hear the game. So I was playing it visually. Like the moment the indicator got down to the line where you're supposed to hit your button, I really wasn't doing it with the music. I was just doing it like that, just watching it and hitting it at the right time. And maybe it's a little bit off. In fact, I thought that it might be, and I went into the settings and you can actually adjust that a little bit. The visual speed, or like as your button's hitting it, the connection between the music that you're hearing and when it hits. So there are two different settings you can do there. And I tinkered with that a bit and then started doing a little bit better. So I will recommend people set that if they're noticing that there just seems to be a bit of a lag when you're hitting your controller from, you know, whether it's saying it was a successful time. But beyond that, it's as much fun as I remember it being. To kind of basically explain the gameplay here, you're in this castle that was taken over by this kind of evil king. It's the whole design is very much like musical instruments. You're running along keyboards and they're playing as you go. You jump on these horns and they lift you up to higher levels and they play. In fact, there's a good little gag where the horn's lifting you and the horn's playing, but whoever's playing it runs out of breath and it stops. Mm-hmm. And then you hear someone suck in a big breath and then blow it again to get you the rest of the way up. So it has a kind of a fun sense of humor like that throughout the whole thing too.
Cool.
But then you get into the challenges. All the songs are original, but there is a really wide variety of music. And like I hit this one punk pop song, which I wasn't expecting at all. And listening to it and thinking, this has got to be something real by an actual band out there because it's a good song. But I think everything was written specifically for the game, except for some where they're pulling some other traditional Konami music makes appearance. But you're not just doing that. Like every now and again, say you're playing and these vines will creep over top of the playing field. So you can't see anything that's coming in. And either you, or if you're lucky enough to be playing with someone else, you kind of have to stop what you're doing, run around, spray plant killer on top of this to get it out of the way, and then go back to playing the rhythm game. So there was one, I was playing it initially by myself, and while you're playing, these items are dropping over on the left that you kind of have to pick up. And there was an AI bot doing that for me. It was a dog. So, you know, all the people out there want more dogs in their games. You got the opportunity. But so it was doing its thing and then I was doing mine and then it swaps. So then I have to run around and pick things up while the dog was doing the rhythm. If you have multiplayer and you can go with up to four people locally or online, then you're kind of shouting out orders like, okay, I'm going to keep playing the rhythm part. You go do, you know, whatever the extra task is over here. So it's very chaotic along those lines. That does make the rhythm portion a bit more difficult, and you have to score a certain amount in order to be able to progress to the next thing. So you've got to get good at it. And some of it, since they are original songs, after you hear them or play through it a couple times, you sort of get a feel for what the beats are, and then you're able to do better and progress. But yeah, awful lot going on. It is more difficult than I thought, but just as fun as I expected. So having a good time, and hopefully we'll have the review up on Tuesday when the game launches.
Awesome. I love that it's like, yeah, taking not just rhythm elements, but adding in these other random tasks. It sounds really fun.
Yeah, yeah, and they are completely, the whole game is just very weird, right down to the characters that you could play as. It's very surrealistic.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. That's really cool. Thank you, Kirk. I'm glad you finally got your hands on it, and look forward to your full thoughts. Did you have any questions for Kirk, Trev, about Super Crazy Rhythm Course?
Yeah, apologies if you mentioned it and I blanked, but does it have any type of rumble that's like features that you can adjust for like the rhythm? Because like you said, you at the event, you were just watching for visual cues. Like, could somebody like crank up rumble and kind of play on that, like almost like blindfolded?
I don't think so. If there is a setting, I didn't see it. But actually, no, I did not go into the controller settings at all, so I don't know if there is anything that you could turn on. So otherwise, no, I was just going strictly off, obviously, the audio cues and the visual present, or the visual aspect of the items dropping onto the lines where you got to weigh in. The controls also, I'll point out, are pretty easy. There are two versions, regular and pro. And if you're doing good enough, it'll push you up to pro and then drop you back. But you can override that and say what you want to be. If you're regular, then there are only three items coming down. You're hitting the R button for the right side, L button for the left side, and Y for the middle. If you're doing pro, then they add a fourth, in which case you're hitting the left on the D-pad for the fourth item. So it's all easy to do.
Are you doing the pro version?
I haven't been, because like I mentioned, it's harder than I expected. I didn't want to embarrass myself too much. Although I will say, since I often point out how much better Sam is at video games and yells at me, I was just owning him on the
So,
yeah. Made me feel okay.
Yes.
Those are fighting words, Sam.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it have online? Like, could you play with friends online? Yes. Cool.
Yes. I didn't test that yet, because since it's not out yet, I was imagining, I don't know how many other people are reviewing the game. I could log in and check, but otherwise, I was just playing with Sam a bit.
Yeah, cool. Nice. Trev, do you want to tell us about WarioWare Move It?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It wasn't necessarily a game that, I mean, it was on my radar, but I wasn't as excited for it as, say, you know, Mario Wonder or Mario RPG that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
The main reason I grabbed it is because my thumb was hurt, and I'm like, oh, this is just motion control. I can save my thumb, not realizing that, you know, most of it is both Joy-Con, so I still have to move my bad arm. But thankfully, my dominant hand and my dominant arm are okay. I've been going through the story mode with Jen in co-op, and I've played a few WarioWare games, but I think she's only ever played Game & Wario, which is kind of its own thing on the Wii U. And yeah, she was having a lot of fun, a lot of laughter. The events are as crazy as you can imagine if you played other games in the series. And you know, it's really, for me with WarioWare, it's that format. You know, the individual micro games on their own aren't the star. It's the way they're all tied together in rapid fire fashion with these quirky characters. And I really want to give credit to the new voice actor. It's the same guy who does Mario.
Oh yeah, okay.
But I was really keen for Wario because there's a lot more speech.
Mm.
You know, from the character, and he's there, and I'm like, hey, he sounds pretty darn good to my ears, at least.
Cool.
And certainly my wife was cracking up at some of the dialogue, and yeah, it's, you know, I can't say it's I like it more than Mario Wonder, but just in terms of expectations, it surprised me more. Because, like, I expected to love Mario Wonder. I didn't necessarily expect to love this. I expect to like it. I thought it'd be a good game. But so far, it's surpassed. So if things keep up, again, I'll be interested to see where it makes my year-end list. But we have friends coming down because they have vacation time, you know, for the, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, you know, around here. So I can't wait to check it out in like, four-player party mode or to see how much of that's what I think this game really shines as a multiplayer in a party game. And, you know, not everyone likes motion controls, but I feel a game like this, it really works for it. And just like I love the DS and 3DS games because they had stylus games and, you know, twist where you tilt the DS and microphone stuff. I feel like the motion controls by and large are work well and they're explained too, so it's not like you're left to your own devices. So
sounds very positive.
A lot of fun. I think you'd have a blast, Gemma, with your and probably you too, Kirk, for that matter, with your kids. I think this would be a good
is this the one that came out on the Wii?
This is a brand new one, right?
Yeah, oh, is it brand new?
Yeah, Move It is the new one on Switch, but
I didn't know if it was a remake of the
Smooth Moves.
Smooth Moves, yeah, that's what that was. Yeah, because we loved Smooth Moves.
If you like Smooth Moves, I think you'd really get a kick out of this. In fact, I've seen I try not to look because especially now that I'm reviewing it, but you can't help but see some things, and I've already heard some comparisons. Like this is the best one since Smooth Moves. So
yeah. Well, it's only been out like a week or so, I think, right? Like came out on the 3rd.
Yeah, it just came out and
It sounds good. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah. Sorry, you go.
It's got a tough I didn't play the last game on Switch, but like Gold on the 3DS was sort of like a greatest hits and I really enjoyed that and I'm really enjoying this too. So I just like being surprised, you know, when going into a game where my expectations were more modest and then having it just kind of, wow, so much better than I imagined.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll have the review up sooner than later. I can't commit to a date just yet, but I'm working on it.
We need a commitment. No, it's okay. I'm glad.
I can't put it up before Mario Wonder because it came out after.
Yeah, true. I'm waiting for us. And it's done by Intelligent Systems, right? So
the Fire Emblem group.
Yeah. They've got quite a good history with Nintendo. They also do Advance Wars and various other titles. So, yeah, very cool. I don't know if WarioWare is the thing they've always done. Looks like actually it has been. They did WarioWare Twisted, WarioWare Snapped, a few others, WarioWare Gold. Maybe they did kind of a few of them around the edges there, but I'm glad it's shaping up to be a positive experience because it looks cool. Like the trailer looked really good. I loved the DS version of WarioWare, I think it was. It was just so quirky and funny.
Oh, yeah. That's a great game.
Funny. Yeah. And like you said, just funny. Like the characters, the dialogue, just and the games are just insane. They're just, it's like Mario Party just completely. It's Wario. He's like the opposite of Mario. And so they've taken that whole Mario Party concept and turned it on its head and given Wario lots of personality. So I love it.
Yeah. And $10 cheaper than most first party games for what that's worth. So.
True. Yeah, that's true. Be a good holiday game, like you said, with friends and family. That'd be good fun over the holiday season.
Yeah, a lot of laughter. And it's cool, like the boss fights, you know, the cooperative. So, you know, it's like, one person has to do this, the other person has to do that. You have to communicate, you know, kind of like the rhythm game Kirk was talking about. You know, you can't just, you know, kind of run willy-nilly. You need to have that teamwork. So
yeah. Well, that leads really nicely into a game I'm playing because it's another co-op kind of party-ish game. I don't know if party is the right word, but Bish Bash Bots is a game I'm reviewing at the moment. And I immediately thought of my son Hayden because it's a tower defense game, and you know he and I both love tower defense games, but it's a 4-player tower defense game, which I'm sure they exist, but I've never played one before, and it works really well. It's quite fun and quite hard, but the premise is that well, the story is that robots have taken over the world, but it's all very cartoony and cute. But in any, you know, any tower defense game, you have a, you know, the lay of the land is there, you have waves of enemies attacking, and you have to build, you know, turrets or weapons to defend, right? That's all there. But in this game, you're actually walking around on the map as you're building the things. And you can also walk up to the enemies and just bash them. Hence, it's bish bash bots, because the robots are attacking and you get to walk up and bash them. So it's chaotic. It's tricky. It's fun. It's really, yeah, it's got a lot going for it. And, you know, even little things like you have a home base in between levels that you go back to. It's kind of this flying, it's not a castle, it's just a flying house, I guess. But, you know, there's a bathroom around the corner you can't see. And if you take your little character around the corner, it uses the bathroom. It's like little juvenile little things, obviously aimed at a younger audience, but it's quite funny. And we're having a really good time with it. I think if you like tower defense and you want something different, because normally with tower defense, you get the lay of the land, you get to just choose where things go before the waves start attacking, right? And then you can upgrade during the level, whatever. But this one, it's very real time. It's very, here's some robots coming in, let's build some things over here, but then I need someone to start hitting them because there's too many for our turrets to attack. It's very cooperative. You have to work together. I'd love to play it with four people. Harrison's not played with me yet, so I've just been the two of us. But I think with four people, it'd be even more fun and probably slightly easier. Because with two, we've struggled a little bit. But yeah, I was impressed. I saw the trailer and thought it looked pretty fun, and it is turning out to be fun. So, yeah.
Is Harrison just not into that type of game, or it just hasn't meshed up time-wise?
A bit of both, I think. He was more interested in playing something, you know, on his own while Hayden and I were hanging out yesterday. So, and he's not as into tower defense as we are, but I'll convince him to give it a go, because I want to try it with at least three people and see. I feel like it'll be slightly easier. But yeah, it's just a different take on the genre, I think. And, you know, it kind of goes with your two, Super Crazy Rhythm Castle and WarioWare, in that it's very cooperative, very party-ish, you know, four people can play and have a good time. If this one's a bit more prescriptive in that you have to kind of like that genre a little bit, but the fact that you can just walk around bashing robots, you know, it's just while someone else builds your turrets, so you can divide up the tasks that way as well. A bit like what you were saying, Kirk, you know, you got your random tasks with plants attacking. And this one has that too. It's not just the robots attacking. It's not just your turrets to build and upgrade. Some levels do have random things that you have to watch out for, like plants. There's these Venus flytraps that come and eat you if you stand still for too long. So you have to watch out for those. You can also trigger them and then run away and they'll eat the robots for you as well. So there's kind of like a little bit of a helpful side to it. So, yeah. It's good though. I'm enjoying it.
Cool.
Any questions for me about that? No, that's okay.
Not yet.
Yeah, that's okay.
When's your review?
Yeah, working on it. It'll be out this week. So we're getting close to the hour mark here, but I really wanted to give you guys an update on Dave the Diver, because this is another game that I'm reviewing, and it came out a couple weeks ago, and I am just loving this game. It is so much. I didn't think it would be bad, but I didn't really know what to expect, and it is really good. It's like, it's really good. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just so fun.
Try.
Okay. It's.
You're a writer, Gemma. Use your words.
It's a lot harder.
You don't want us to hire AI, do you? Please don't describe the game.
No. It could probably do it a lot faster than I could, but that's okay.
Without the personality.
Yes, that's it. Exactly. It's a lot harder than I anticipated. It's, you know, if probably everyone has heard of this, but if you haven't, it's kind of two genres in one. It's like a restaurant sim and then a kind of an action adventure, underwater adventure game. I don't know how you describe the second part of it that well, but basically you're catching fish and then you're serving them in a restaurant. That's at its simplest, but it's so much more than that. Like the underwater part is much more in depth than I expected. You're given all these missions to do. People keep bugging you when you're just trying to catch fish for your restaurant. People keep coming up to you. Oh, I heard you're a diver. I'm a university student. I need some of these. Can you get them for me? And you kind of just can't say no. So suddenly you're trying to find red starfish or some other random object. Then you've got some doctor coming up to you who's trying to find this ancient civilization that disappeared thousands of years ago, and he needs evidence of their existence. So you're looking for that. Then there's, you know, it's not just a little peaceful. I thought it'd be a little peaceful kind of serene adventure into the ocean, catch a few fish, you know, come back up to the surface. But no, fish attack you. There's sharks, there's barracudas, there's, you know, squids, and they spray ink on you. and you have a tank of air, obviously, that runs out. That's your health, which I thought was a really neat kind of thing. So if a fish attacks you, you lose air, you know, lose health, but you lose air, and then, you know, you got to get back to the surface. There's a time element. You have limited time underwater, you know, not just the air component, but there's only certain times of day you can go underwater, and then at night you have to serve in the restaurant. And there's lots to discover the underwater. I wish I could spend more time down there, actually. And you know, Trev, I don't like my water games that much, but there's a lot to discover. There's, you know, there's weapons to craft. There's a fish index, obviously, to fill out. There's, you have a phone so you can call people anytime you want and talk to them. You have
underwater?
No, that's on the boat, I guess. Sorry. But...
They'd be like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. People keep installing apps on your phone, so you kind of have all these things to do. Then the restaurant side of things is super fun. I don't know. I'm not usually a management player, like a management sim kind of player. I do like kind of Overcooked, I guess, and this is a bit similar. It's not as hard as Overcooked. It's not like they're throwing random things at you, like your oven's not on fire and you're not trying to jump over gaps or anything like that. You just have to serve people in a timely manner. But they're very demanding, these people, and they need their food quickly. And you don't even make the food. You just serve it. You pour the tea and you bring the food to them. But when there's like 5 to 10 people all at once wanting their food, it's, you know, it's tricky. And again, it's time limited. So you have to kind of, it's, I don't know, there's a little meter in the corner. It's like your little clock. And once that runs out, the shop closes and you earn your money and you get ratings. And there's a social media aspect to it. It's just, there's a lot going on. Like, this is a really deep game, much deeper than I expected. So it's kind of got everything. It's just really fun. And the characters are very interesting and quirky. The dialogue's very good. The graphics are really good. The music is really good. Trev, you would love the music, I think.
I'll have to look up and see if the soundtrack's on like YouTube or something.
Yeah, like the underwater scenes kind of have a peaceful vibe to them with the music. So that's why I thought it would be more of a peaceful experience. But it also has this kind of retro beat in the background. The restaurant has a really cool beat to it, a really cool vibe. It's just, yeah, it's really well done. When we heard this game was coming to the Switch after being on Steam, I think a lot of people had heard of it and were really excited. I hadn't heard of it. I think maybe Justin was talking about how he'd played it or seen it with his brother.
Yeah, I remember him talking about it.
He was and I was a bit like, oh yeah, it looks different, that's for sure. it is, and it's really worth it. The hype is real, I suppose. It's really fun, and it's not super expensive, I don't think either. I think it's maybe $20 on the eShop. I can't remember now, but something like that. So I'm working on my review and probably halfway through that. So hopefully I'll get that up this week as well. But yeah, I wanted to give you guys an update because it's surpassed. You could say like WarioWare, this has definitely surpassed my expectations. Yeah.
I have a question for each segment. When you're diving, can you get a case of the bends?
No, I thought that too, because you can rise pretty quickly and I didn't notice that happening. There's even an escape pod you can take if you get stuck at various points. There's also sort of air refills randomly scattered around, so you can refill your air. There was one point, I think when I used the escape pod once, it did put me in some sort of decompression chamber, like a little animated version of that. But no, you can't rise too quickly. It doesn't seem to have that. The balance. Okay. Yeah.
What's your other question? You prepare fugu? Favorite of Homer.
I thought that as well. Not yet. I have seen a, what is that? Is that a stonefish? No, what is it? What is it based on?
Is it? I only know from the Simpsons episode. It's like a blowfish type thing.
I've seen a blowfish. I don't know how to catch it. It keeps attacking me. So not yet, but probably. Possibly. Yeah. this lady's coming to the restaurant and she really wants shark. So every night she comes in wanting shark, and I it's my mission to get her shark. And
my wife likes shark in real life.
Yeah, right. Well, I haven't caught the shark yet because it mauls me. It attacks me, and then it holds you in its mouth and thrashes you from side to side, and then I run out of air and die. So yeah, I think I need better weapons maybe for the shark.
Looks like you're going to need a bigger weapon.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, nice Jaws reference. Yeah, so watch this space. I'll get that review out as soon as possible. But yeah, we've definitely hit the hour mark there. So I told you we had a lot to talk about this week. Any other final thoughts before we close things off?
I had one just real quick. Talking about Wario, it occurs to me, because it is motion controls, that Switch Lite owners are kind of, I feel bad for them, because they're kind of left. I think a few podcasts ago, you wondered how many were sold compared to the rest. I looked it up. If these numbers are accurate, it's a little over 20 million.
Wow.
So that's almost GameCube numbers. So I do feel bad for them, but, or, you know, anyone who might have like a disability and can't do motion controls. But I just wanted to mention that because we talked about that before. And yeah, less than a week for Mario RPG. I feel like we haven't gotten a break this past month or whatever. It's no, like boom, 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 boom.
It has been. It has been exactly like that. Yeah, you're right. So the Switch Lite players can't play that then?
The Joy-Cons are like molded to the, because it's handheld only. So, I mean, I suppose you could get separate set of Joy-Cons, but I would imagine it would be hard to play on the small screen, especially if you're with the buddy.
True. Yeah.
So I don't think it's terribly practical, but I guess it's not impossible.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Good point. Definitely. Yeah. Well, I just lost my train of thought, but thank you for that, Trev. No, and thank you so much, listeners, for joining us this week. And thank you, Kirk and Trev. We're about to send out our magazine, aren't we, Trev? I think.
Oh yeah, no, I forgot. I think they're due to arrive here at my place on within a couple of days of this podcast going up, and then assuming my arm doesn't give out on me, I might have to have Jen help me package them up. But they'll be in the mail for the weekend. So
nice. That's exciting.
Of course, you know, print media, the cover story is a preview of a game that's already out, but I think people kind of expect that. There's still a lot of good content in it. And I'm just excited that people will be able to have something tangible in their hands to, you know, go along with our Tears of the Kingdom issue and our Pikmin 4 issue. So
yeah, that's three big games of the year. And, you know, talking games of the year, that will those three will probably be in all our lists, I imagine, at the end of the year. So, yeah, very cool. Yeah, so if you're a Patreon subscriber, look forward to seeing that in the mail soon. If you would like to get yourself a copy of, I guess, our next edition, you can subscribe over on patreon.com/purenintendo. We'd love your support. And we do put out a magazine every 2 to 3 months. So we'll be signing our next issue very soon, I imagine. But thank you again, listeners. Thank you both for joining me. And until next week, game on, everybody. Bye.